Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Miss Tara and her son Grant, and myself Sandy, and we've been really delving into this goats and sheep, you know, in the division in Matthew 25:31-46. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tara talked last time about, you know, we're kind of called to be faithful, but be watchful. We need to be prepared. You know, and the goats were not prepared. And so we're going to go on now and with this simple narrative and divide it into four divisions.
Yeah. You know, I'll open that up before I do the actual passage. Cornerstone Commentary, when they call it a prose narrative or a semi-parable, they said that this particular narrative has four actual divisions to it. And then if you look at it, it's the setting of judgment, the invitation to the righteous, the banishment of the wicked, and the, they said the chiastic conclusion. I don't think I've ever seen that word before, but it's just this huge, you know, climax at the end. And just thinking through, it is clearly divided that way, and you could almost take it and put it, the two parts of the sheep and the goats, which they're only called sheep and goats once. The rest of the time in the narrative, they were referred to those on the right and those on the left. And so one commentator says, I really don't know why we call it the parable of the sheep and the goats. we could just as easily, you know, he said, call it the right or the left. You know, the right guys and the left guys, because that he actually uses the terms right and left more than he actually uses the sheep and the goats. And so here's the passage in Matthew 25:31-46. So in all his glory comes the Son of Man, and he brings the angels with him, and he sits on his throne. And he has gathered around him all the nations, and he begins to separate them out one from another, and as a sheep would separate his sheep from his goats. He puts the sheep to the right and the goats to the left, and then the king says to the ones on the right, come, because you will be blessed by my Father, and the kingdom's prepared that he's prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He said, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Well, then the righteous will answer him, when, Lord, did we see you hungry and feed you or give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and give you clothes? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And he said, I assure you that whatever you did for the least of these brothers, you did for me. And then he'd said to the ones on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed. The eternal fire prepared for the devil is and his angels. And he sends them there. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me. And then they too answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you? And then he answers, I assure you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So we could also have the wicked and the righteous as a division of calling this parable. I want us to focus in, so we see how it's divided out, and it has, you know, the setting of judgment, Jesus in his glory with the angels and gathering them together, and then how he does the invitation to the righteous and then the punishment to the wicked. Two things that we didn't bring out in previous ones I really want us to get. I want us to understand the blessings were prepared before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
We really need to get a grasp on that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He prepared when he created heaven and earth to give this blessing for those that will believe. When we believe on Jesus from the foundation of the world, he had this blessing intended for us. That in of itself tells us the value that God has for us as humanity. And if we understand the value, what he has for us, who are we not to take care of another person? I watched a video the other day, and it literally made me weep. This group of guys, they get together, and they like to test out biblical lessons. So what they did is they took a man, the same man, for both video segments, and it's almost like they were trying to, it's really funny because I don't think this was based on the sheep and the goats. And they dressed him up as a businessman, and they had him on crutches. And he looked very well put together, you know, walking the streets of a city. And as he's walking the streets on his crutches in the city with his briefcase and his nice suit, he trips and he falls in a huge crowd of people. And they're videotaping all of this. And people rush to pick him up. People rush to help him. And they show video footage over and over and over of how the minute he falls, people are there to minister to his need. And it's just a blessing to watch how people were helping. They then take the same man, they show him, and they dress him as a homeless man. Mm-hmm. And instead of a briefcase, he's carrying like his bags and his crutches. And so he's bedraggled, he doesn't look good, he's not shaved. I mean, they made him look messy. And as he's walking down the same street, different people obviously, but he falls, people literally walk around and sidestep to get away from him. And he lays down on the ground and he's trying to get himself up and like he acts like he can't. Only in one footage do they show somebody helping, and it was another homeless man. Mm-hmm. A truly homeless man helped him get up.
That's sad.
It is. That homeless man was a sheep. The people in the city were doing good works. But were they necessarily doing it out of God's love?
Right.
Or because, oh, this man's worthy of being helped, whereas the homeless man was not valued. If we truly understand that from the foundation of the world, God had these blessings intended for us, when we see another human being, we're going to be automatically overflowed to take care of them, whether they're rich or poor. Mm-hmm. A sheep will take care of a human, not a prestige, education, power, authority, whatever it is that we could put as a label to make somebody worthy of being blessed.
It's all about who's hurting.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. I'm glad you pointed that. It doesn't have to be the homeless. It doesn't have to be the rich. It's just whoever.
It is the one in need.
Right.
And I think that's why some of the commentators, if you remember two shows back, I said they say that there's three parties involved in mm-hmm. this. Some say it's the 144,000 Jewish believers. Other commentators say it's anyone in need. Mm. And I love scripture because I really believe that scripture can be taken on so many levels, so many layers. I think I don't know one way or the other. I don't have the theological training to say it would be the 144,000 or it would be the ones in need. But I do have enough time having read the entire counsel of God for many, many years to know that it would be the one in need, mm-hmm. and it would be the 144,000 Jews. Does that make sense?
It does.
That it doesn't matter. It is we are to take care of those people mm-hmm. because from the foundation of the earth, God said, you have value. Humans have value. We need to take care of those. And when that heart is in us, we have the sheep heart.
Right.
And that's what he wants from us. And that makes me want to cry.
Hmm.
You know, that's a good prayer. We just need to pray that God give us that, recognizing that value. I was in a teaching setting recently, and we were going through different women of the Bible, and this was a setting with just a group of women. And we're going through women of the Bible. And so we've looked at the Old Testament women, and we've examined the faithfulness of the women. We've looked at the New Testament women and how Jesus put incredible value in the women. And then we looked at the Acts women and how in Acts the women were active in serving the church. And I asked the group, I'm like, why do you think God wants us to identify with these women? And in this group, they had never thought to identify with the value of the women. And my heart broke, because somehow we've missed the boat in teaching the value of 50% of the world's population. And this small group of women, they had looked at the sin and knew not to focus, you know, so that they wouldn't have the sin in their lives, but not taking the actual character traits that had value of the women in the Bible that they could own and identify with to live that out in Christlikeness. And I think our culture today, we no longer value humanity, people, and we're losing that. At a time when I think social service is increasing, I think that the heart behind why we should socially serve has decreased, you know. And so it's not about giving money or anything. It's giving the value that they need. If they have the value they need, then they're going to know how to pull themselves up.
Right.
And so giving that, it's huge. Okay, so I kind of went on my soapbox,
didn't
I? No,
that's all right. I was just thinking when you were saying that, you know, Open Door, you know, is so Christ-centered. You know, and they give them the value. And I love that
100%,
about that mission.
100%. That is why
it's about the person.
I love and serve at the mission faithfully and have over 10 years because of the fact that we there serve to help them know they are worthy of being.
It breaks my heart when other people are judging them.
Right.
You know, why they're there. You know,
right.
I'm thinking, well, they don't go down and serve. They need to go down and serve and see what Open Doors Mission is really about.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. And it's different than giving, give. And,
yeah,
and
go serve.
But serving is just as important.
Yeah.
Okay. I want, because of the value, I want us to take time to examine that he uses, because it was the foundation, and then I want us to examine the word come. The word that he uses in it, and that he says to them, okay, let me see if I can, he says, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I kind of went backwards. I should have done the word come first and then foundation, but I want us to talk here just on that one word. It's powerful. There are many places that this exact same Greek word is used, and so I'm going to have you guys open up. Sandy, go to Matthew 4:19. Grant, I want you to go to Matthew 11:28. And then I'll give you more in a second that you guys can look up, okay? And these are all places in the Bible where it is the exact same meaning that he uses here in this verse. And so, Sandy, would you read Matthew 4:19?
Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men.
Okay, good. All right. So the invitation to be evangelistic, the invitation to share the gospel, the invitation to make Jesus' name known. Okay, Grant?
Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
The invitation to those that are tired, broken, lonely, sad, come, he says. All right, now I want us to do... Sandy, go to Matthew 22:4. Grant, you're going to do the Revelation 22:17. You got it, Sandy?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.
Okay, so the invitation to be a part of the feast, part of the wedding. So we have the invitation to be servants and sharing the gospel. We have the invitation for those that are broken and weary and sad and tired. Now we have the wedding invitation to be with him in the end times. Okay, Grant?
Both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Anyone who hears should say, come. And the one who is thirsty should come. Whoever desires should take the living water as a gift.
three times. Didn't he say come three times in there?
No, and it just made me cry.
Wow.
Okay. Do you see how Revelation 22:17 parallels what they've done? They fed and gave, they gave food, they gave beverage, and the food and the beverage they've given is ministering to Jesus. And so this one is showing how Jesus is our food, our water. And so it shows the circularness, it's the spiritual taking care of as well as the physical. And so I would like to say that we can't do one without the other. If I am taking care of physical needs and I'm not taking care of spiritual needs, I've gone halfway. If I only focus on the spiritual need, they're not going to listen to me if I'm not helping them with their physical need. I'm more apt to have an ear if I do both, okay?
Right.
All right, the last one, Grant, you do Matthew 19:29. Sandy, you do Romans 8:17. And these are to show the full inheritance of what he's referring to, okay? Okay, go ahead, Grant.
And everyone who has left houses, brothers or sisters, father or mother, children or fields because of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life.
Okay. Awesome. So the inheritance of eternal life, the promise that we have. So when we feel like we're losing out because we're having to let go of things on this earth, we need not be burdened by that because he gives us the inheritance of eternal life. This life is just a blink. It is a blink compared to what we're going to have with him eternally. Okay, Romans 8:17.
Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory.
Mm.
Identification.
I know. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so part of our inheritance is we will share in the sufferings. And I think that's why he prepared them in the Beatitudes. Mm. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted. Okay? It isn't just about it being easy. It is going to be hard. We have to make the conscious choice to be the one who is in there getting dirty and giving the gospel and in serving. And it's a gift he gives us, but the gift is eternal life. The blessing of from the foundation of the earth that he has given us, this invitation to come is huge. Once I started grasping that if you actually go through my prayer journals, my prayer journals are filled with just the word come.
Mm.
And because I learned the power of that one word from Jesus' mouth.
It's a command.
And so for me to cry out to him and say, come, I am saying the fullness of the measure of what you have here, let it be out and in me that you come in such a way the invitation is made clear. God bless.